السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وكفى، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا تلهكم أموالكم ولا أولادكم عن ذكر الله، ومن يفعل ذلك فأولئك هم الخاسرون. صدق الله العظيم. علماء کرام، most respected brothers and our sisters who listen, who receive us once again on this day of Jumu'ah, in the short time that we have, we will discuss the akhirat, the hereafter, which the Quran Sharif has discussed extensively and the ahadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam have discussed extensively. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala declares this world as a world of deception. It's a world of deception. A person comes into this world, then he believes that he is going to remain here forever and ever. No matter how much he sees with his own eyes, how many accidents, how many shootings, how many earthquakes he reads about, and how much of bombings, no matter what he reads, what he listens, but shaitan does not want him to believe that he is also going to be a candidate and a victim of death one day. Shaitan doesn't want him to believe that. And therefore, in this world of deception, the person wants to have a good time. He wants to enjoy himself and do anything and everything that his nafs desires. So to give us a little bit of warning and to give us a little bit of real understanding, the Quran Sharif discusses many places, and the ahadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam discuss many places about death. I mentioned on some occasion here that the Jumu'ah time, which is 15-20 minutes or 25 minutes, many people around the globe, that is about the only time that they have got for some kind of Islamic knowledge and education. That's about the only time. Believe me what I'm telling you. Travel throughout the world and see. And that too on that Jumu'ah occasion, majority of them are not even in the masjid at the time of the bayan. And then if that bayan is delivered in a language that they don't understand, then even that is an added factor, that they are deprived of any kind of understanding of the Quran, of the Sunnah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, realization of that there is death to come, so therefore our actions have to be in accordance with the Quran and Sunnah. Akhirat, maut, and these type of things are not even discussed, because if somebody has to discuss akhirat, discuss death, then they say that this is an outdated subject. Talk about something that is relevant. So it is the duty of the people that are lecturing on Jumu'ah occasions that they must speak on different subjects. They must make tafsir of the ayat of the Quran Sharif. They must give commentary of the ahadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam with regards to different aspects of life. But together with all that, it is necessary that some time or some Jumu'ahs must be dedicated to a reminder to the people of what is to come. The akhirat, the hereafter. Because that is our true life. That is where we will remain forever and ever. جس جہاں سے ہمیشہ کو جانا اور کبھی لوٹ کر پھر نہ آنا، جس جہاں سے ہمیشہ کو جانا اور پھر کبھی لوٹ کر نہ آنا، یہ ہے ارشاد قطب زمانہ، ایسی دنیا سے کیا دل لگانا. جس جہاں سے ہمیشہ کو جانا، that world which you will have to leave and go forever and ever. No return from that hereafter back to this world. Then, How can you give your heart to that kind of a world? And that is the only thing. A Muslim makes use of all the bounties of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. He is not deprived of that. Allah ta'ala has created it for his benefit. So we must never think that the remembrance of death will make the person give up his business and give up everything and go away into the jungle. If somebody does that, then he hasn't understood Islam and Sharia. But to be so negligent that the person is unconcerned that death will come. And recently, as I explained last week also, there have been so many sudden deaths, that if it still doesn't open our eyes, then I don't know what else can. So we were discussing that incident in the life of Hazrat Hatim Asam Rahmatullah Alayh, that he was questioned by Hazrat Shaykh Shaqiq Balkhi Rahmatullah Alayh, that the 33 years that you spent with me, coming, going, attending my programs, discussions and discourses and nasihats and waaz and all that, what did you learn in the 33 years? So Hazrat Hatim Asam Rahmatullah Alayh said, I learnt only 8 things. And those were the 8 things that we were discussing. The first thing which I discussed at length last week was, or to some extent we can't discuss at length, was that he said that every person in this world seems to love something or the other. Something or the other the person must love. Some human beings, some things of the material world, but he has his love for something or the other. But he says, what I saw is that whosoever the person loved, one day that person departed from this world, either that beloved goes away or the person who is loving, he goes away. But there will be a separation. We haven't heard of that person taking his beloved also to the graveyard and say, you also sleep with me in the grave. That person will be the first one to run from the graveyard. So many of the lovers, they are scared to go to the graveyard. When the janazah time, too, they'll stand far away. And ghusl time, of course, that is the time that they will distance themselves completely. They cannot see. So he says, I notice that this is the situation. So therefore, I gave my heart to something that will accompany me to the grave also. And that, what I saw, was good deeds. And I explained fully that now good deeds does not mean just charities, just some namaz, roza, zakat. Everything and anything that the person does in accordance with the Quran and Sunnah, that is the important thing. The Muslim, just with his intention and niyat, he can get that which with his action sometimes he cannot get. A person was going past huge mountains and he said, looking at those mountains, said, Ya Allah, if only these mountains I could have crushed into flour. And thereafter distributed the flour and people could have eaten bread. I could have given to the poor and needy. How wonderful it would have been. The Nabi of the time was informed that tell this person, that just on that niyat, that he desired that those mountains turn to flour, he can crush them to flour. Allah Ta'ala gave them the sawab of giving that to the poor and needy. That was the niyat the person made. For many women folk, sometimes they say, we've got 5 children, 6 children, we have got so much of housework to do, and we got this to do and that to do, and our husband is also very fussy. So what do we do? How do we read Quran Sharif extra? How do we make some nafil namazes and some tilawat and zikr and other ibadat? We see the men folk doing this, doing that. How can we do all those things? So the simple answer to that I give is, whatever you are doing, you will be doing. You are going to take care of the children. You are going to cook. You are going to prepare the meals. You are going to wash the clothes or clean them and dress them and prepare them for the school and the madrasa and do all other things and fulfill the rights of your husband. You will be doing all those things. Then why do it as a routine? Why do it as a burden? Since you are going to do it, then just change your intention and niyat that, Ya Allah, this is a responsibility that you have placed upon my shoulder. So I am doing all these things in fulfillment of your hukam, your command, and for your pleasure. Now everything that you will be doing now will be ibadat. You will even excel, and sometimes you will go further than those people who are just sitting and making zikr. Because all this now you are doing for the sake of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's pleasure. So the niyat of a Muslim is an extremely important thing. So when we say preparation for death, then it does not mean that you go out of this world and go and prepare. That you have to go 50,000 or 100,000 feet above sea level and go and prepare for death from there. It will mean that the same business houses, the same homes, the same body, the same eyes, the same ears, and the same tongues and the hands and feet the person will use, but he will use it in accordance with Allah Ta'ala's command. That is the important thing. What is my Allah pleased with? We will always look at the hukam of Allah. What is he pleased with? Again, that example comes to mind, that a little child was given a toffee. Front of Hazrat Mawlana Aqeemullah Akhtar Saad Damod Barakatuh, my shaykhs, that little child, he gave him a toffee. So when he gave him the toffee, the child turned his face away. So the child was in the hands of the father. So the child turns its face away and then looks at the father. And the father tells the child, take it. Hazrat is giving you the toffee, the sweet, take it. So the child took it. So now these Allah Wallahs, they take lessons from everything and anything that they look and they see. He said that this child has taught us such an important lesson, this little child, that when I gave the toffee to this child, the child did not recognize me. The child saw me as a stranger giving a toffee. So the child turned its face away and looked at its Abba, his father. So the child looked at the Abba first before accepting that toffee. The lesson that we must take from there, that before we accept anything of the material world, of the pleasures of this dunya, then first we must look at our Abba. Is my Allah pleased with this or not? The woman who is seducing, then look up and ask Allah Ta'ala, is he pleased with that? Those women that we are casting lustful glances at, or the person who is engaging in fraud, or the person who is deceiving the customer, he is not revealing the defects that are in the articles, or the person who is taking false oath and qasam just to make a few thousand rands or a few miserable coins. Now at that time the person looks up when he wants to watch the haram on the television, watch the haram sites on the internet. Now at that time he looks up at his Rabbah, at his Allah, that is my Allah pleased with this action of my or not. If Allah Ta'ala is pleased, then accept that toffee. There's nothing wrong with that. The permissible entertainment, there's nothing wrong with that. But he will look at Allah Ta'ala, that what is Allah Ta'ala's hukam? And that is all it is. It is simple and it will bring peace and sukoon in the heart. I mentioned in one of my talks the other night, I said that word sukoon itself, if a person has to drag it, sukoon, the person can fall off to sleep. The word itself gives you such kind of sukoon in the heart. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has kept sukoon in those deeds and those actions which are pleasing to him. And he has kept restlessness, anxiety, misery, worries and problems in all those actions and deeds that are displeasing to him. And I repeat that don't look at the disbelievers. Don't look at those who are non-Muslims. For them this world is a world of enjoyment and pleasures. And for the Muslim, Allah Ta'ala, he wants to give him the best of both worlds. In the dua also we are saying, رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَا وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. So we are asking Allah Ta'ala for hasana fi dunya, the best in this world also. And this hasana does not just mean wealth and property. So hasana fi dunya, the goodness, the good amal, the good actions, whether that actions come through his business, whether it comes through his fulfillment of the rights of his wife, his children, and any other good actions of his. But he's asking for hasana fi dunya and hasana fi akhirah. So Allah Ta'ala wants to give us the best of both worlds. And why should he teach us this dua if he did not want to give us both things? But it's just that we do not want to taste the goodness. We want to enjoy that which is filth, that which is haram. We have become like vultures. Now the vulture, no matter how much you have to tell the vulture that this is a carcass, it's a dead body. Don't feed over this dead body. It's poisonous also. But the vulture enjoys that. The vulture doesn't want to move from that body. The enjoyment of the vulture is in that dead body, in the dead flesh. But those eagles, they soar high. They don't want to go and eat that which the vulture is eating. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala made us eagles, soar high. Get the qurb of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Take off from the farsh and go up to the arsh. The du'as of a mu'min, it takes the person from the ground and gets him connected with Allah Ta'ala on the arsh. What speedier travel can you have and mode of travel? So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala wants to give the best of this world and the Akhirat. So this reminder of death here and there in the Quran Sharif and the Ahadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is so that we may keep the balance. We do not go on to any extremes, because the more we are going to give our heart to the things of this world, the more difficult it will be to part from that. Look at how many people, they themselves had a heart attack the moment some dear one of theirs passed away. They themselves passed away in the shock. Or anything that the person hears, definitely natural grief is there. Anybody can be the great wali of Allah Ta'ala. But the natural grief will be there. But the difference will be that the wali of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, the one who has given his heart to Allah Ta'ala and believes that everything happens with the will of Allah Ta'ala, he will get over that trauma very quickly. He will not suffer that kind of depression that we now hear of, where the person says, 20 years ago certain thing happened, 15 years ago certain thing happened, and I'm still depressed. The person will make the freeze and he will get out of it. So, jis jahan se hamesha ko jana, aur kabhi lot kar phir na aana, yeh irshad khutub-e zamana, aisi dunya se kya dil lagana. Don't give your heart to it, that is all. Ask Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala what he is pleased with. And keep that detachment from the dunya, like that envelope. We have different kinds of envelopes. Some of those envelopes, when you seal, then after that you cannot open them. It will tear open. But you cannot just open the flap and remove the letter from inside, because they are sealed. The glue is such that now they will not open. And some of the envelopes are such that you can just open and again close and again open and again close. Very lightly they are stuck. Our hearts must be like that with this dunya. That we make use of everything, but we don't give our heart to it. So therefore, Hazrat Hatim Asam Rahmatullah Alayhi says that when I saw that people are giving their hearts to everything, I gave my heart to good deeds. And that's why I quoted that hadith of Nabi Alayhi Salatu Wasalam, Ish ma shi'ta fa innaka mayyitun, wa ahbib ma shi'ta fa innaka mufariquhu, wa amal ma shi'ta fa innaka tujzabihi. No matter how long you stay, one day you have to die. You are going to go, the gist of which is that you will have to leave this world. Mouth is going to come. And love whomsoever you wish, and whatever you wish, but one day you are going to part from it. I always say that when the person gets up in the morning, and especially if he's an affluent person, Allah Ta'ala has blessed the person with bungalows, with palaces, and with big bank balances, and the person has got beautiful cars, and he's got beautiful children, and he's got a very pretty wife, and he's got everything. In the morning when you get up, then take one good look at everything. One good look. At the home, at the car, at the wife, at the children, at the gold, at the silver, at the bank balance, whatever he's got, the statements from the banks, have a good look at it. And after that, just close the eyes for 1 second, 2 seconds, or a few seconds. And that is death. Finish. And then just think, what am I going to take with if my eyes have to shut like this suddenly? I'm going to my business house. What if I'm shot there and gone? What will I take with me? I'm going driving up somewhere. What if an accident takes my life? So this is what will keep us steadfast. And it will not make life miserable. The person will still enjoy life. Because now he's staying away from sins. So Allah Ta'ala will make his life pleasant.
کئی بار ہم نے یہ دیکھا کہ جن کا مشین بدن تھا معطر کفن تھا کئی بار ہم نے یہ دیکھا کہ جن کا مشین بدن تھا معطر کفن تھا جو قبر کوہن اس کی اکھڑی تو دیکھا نہ عضو بدن تھا نہ تارے کفن تھا کئی بار ہم نے دیکھا اس How many times we have seen? Kai baar humne dekha. Many times we have seen that those people who had fit, healthy bodies, you will see them jogging, running, skipping, dancing and singing and traveling from this part of the world to another part and from there to another part of the world. Doing everything as a young, fit and healthy person would do. And they had everything going for them also. How many times we read in the newspapers of people tell, my son had everything going for him. He was not short of anything.
I had given him the best of everything. He didn't deserve to be taken away like this. Na'uzu billah. As if Allah Ta'ala should have made mashwara with him first. That must I take your son away, have a parliamentary meeting, and then make a decision. So, kai baara humne dekha. And when the person died also, they gave him a good kafan and everything. But he says, after a few days when we opened the grave, there was no sign of a thread of that kafan and no sign of the body. Finished. Disintegrated. Reh ke dunya mein bashar ko zeba nahi ghaflat. Reh ke dunya mein zeba nahi bashar ko reh ke dunya mein zeba nahi bashar ko ghaflat. Maut ka dhyan bhi lazim hai ke har aan rahe. Jo bashar aaya hai dunya mein ye kehti hai qaza. Main bhi piche chali aati hoon zara dhyan rahe. Jo bashar aaya hai yahan ye kehti hai qaza. Main bhi piche chali aati hoon zara dhyan rahe. It is not befitting of a person who says that he is a human being. He is an insan. And especially if that Muslim, that insan is a Muslim, then it is not befitting that he be negligent, indifferent. Lazim hai, it is necessary that the person must be conscious of the fact that death can come suddenly. No warning bells, no warning signs, suddenly the person can go. One young friend of mine, just 2 weeks ago, in the month of Ramadan, I don't know how many times I must have met him there in Stanga Masjid. After Fajr, after reciting his Quran Sharif and all, he came home. He went to bed, and when they're getting him up to go to work, finish, fast asleep. Slept forever. So, lazim hai bashar ko. It is necessary that we should be conscious of this fact. The haram places that a person goes to, temptation can lead him there. But deliberately to go to those places, plan to go to those places. Like from now, in the masajid, if you have to go now, there are so many people, their plans are that we will be going to the casino this weekend, on Saturday we are going to go to this disco, and tonight we will be going to that rave club, and we will be going here and we will be going there. Now that is what we mean by searching for sins. A Muslim doesn't search for sins. Accidentally, if he falls into the trap, then we understand he's a human being. He can make a mistake, make sincere tawbah. But to go out in search for sins is like going out in search for an accident. That I'm driving onto the road so that I meet up with an accident. Will that be a sensible thing? But accidents can happen no matter how alert and sharp the person is. So we haven't gone past the first point yet. He said, I only learned 8 lessons. So this is the first lesson, he says, I learned. I gave my heart, he says, because of that, to good actions and good deeds. And I conclude again on that one beautiful example, that one Allah Wala, he said that first to discipline my eyes and my ears and my hands and my feet, I had to make a lot of mujahada, a lot of effort. But after I disciplined it, then I feel like kissing my feet because my feet became the means of my connection with Allah. I feel like kissing my hands because my hands became the means of my connection with Allah. I feel like kissing my wealth because my wealth became the means of my connection with my beloved Allah. I feel like kissing my own eyes because by restraining these eyes from haram, they became the means of my connection with my beloved Allah. Where will we get an Allah like that who wants to give us the best of both worlds? Give us the best of dunya and the best of akhirat. Try it, taste it, then we will never go back to those evil and haram places. Once we get the enjoyment and the taste of iman in our hearts, may Allah Ta'ala bless me also with it, bless you with it, and bless the entire ummah with it. May Allah Ta'ala remove the difficulties, the hardships, the problems that the ummah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam and in fact mankind is experiencing around the globe. May Allah Ta'ala bless us with the best of dunya and the best of akhirat. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.